It takes teams to be on the same page if they want to win a game. And I'll tell you what, as parents, it really takes parents being on the same page if you ultimately want to win in parenting with your kids and frankly with each other. And I know that can be difficult sometimes. Even in the best of homes and families and marriages, there can be disagreements. But if there's been a separation or a divorce or different values or beliefs, it can really put stress on the parenting responsibility. I'm Dr. Randy. This is Intentional Living. And I really wanted to share with you a program today from the Intentional Living Archives that I think will be a very powerful encouragement to you, because the calls that are coming, because of the content that we're sharing, you'll find it to be very practical on getting on the same page as parents. And I know that can be difficult because you may have some strong beliefs and values in one area. Your spouse may see it in a different way. But for the benefit of the kids, I always say it's important to get on the same page, maybe to agree to disagree. Maybe there are areas where you have to do some compromising because you're asking the question, what is best for these kids? And I'm always respecting those of you who maybe been through a divorce, and maybe the relationship with your ex-spouse has been complicated for whatever reason, but you agree to say, hey, our priority is to really raise these kids together and be intentional. And I respect that. That's important, because at the end of the day, the goal is to raise a responsible adult, and we're going to be held accountable for that someday as we stand before God. But I would love to hear your comments. If you have a comment you can share with me, maybe one thing that helps you and your spouse to get on the same page when you have a disagreement that has worked in your relationship, call and tell me on our comment line. All you have to do is call 888-888-1717. Hit the prompt for the comment line. And by the way, if you want to talk to one of our staff live and join us in support of the ministry, we'd love to hear from you. When you call 888-888-1717, just hit prompt number 2. All right. Donald's calling from Kansas, so let's get started. Donald, how are you doing today?
I'm blessed, young man.
Good. Thank you for the young man. I like that a lot.
Well, I want to say this. I mean, what me and my wife do, before we get up in the morning, the first thing we do is we pray, and we just ask God to bless our day and all that. And before we go to bed, we always tell God, thank you for a beautiful day and all that. And we bless him for beautiful kids and everything. So, but we put God first. And if you have a problem, we don't argue about it. We sit down, we discuss it out, and ask God to help us deal with it. So how we deal with life.
Yeah, and that's the way you've raised your kids? I mean, how many children do you have,
yes,
Donald?
I got 3 boys and 2 girls.
And are they grown or are still home or what?
Yes, yes. I got an 18-year-old, I got a 28-year-old, I got a 27-year-old, I got a 9-year-old and a 15-year-old.
Wow. Okay, so you and your wife spend time really in agreement spiritually, getting started at that level. And you, yes, see, do you see, well, a difference in your parenting when you have an issue,
yes,
that you have to deal with?
Yes, I do. What makes me so happy is she gave her life to God because of me, because I used to tell her Jesus loved her and all that. And since we've been together, she's gave her life to God, and now she won't stay out of the Bible, and I like that about her.
That's good. Well, hey, listen, Donald, appreciate your call, man. It's a reminder. In fact, on my list of the top things that we can do, number 3 on the list, not because it's number 3 on the list, but because it's number 3 on this list, pray daily for their future. Pray for your kids. Pray for their career, their spouses, their life choices. Pray that God will give you wisdom. There's something that happens spiritually. There's something that happens relationally when we humble ourselves and we realize, hey, these kids are not mine. I have a stewardship responsibility in raising these children. But someday, and grandparents listening, you know what I'm talking about. You've raised the kids, they're out of the home, they're bringing those grandkids home, and you realize that you've just sent into the future children and grandchildren that you may not be around to see in the years ahead, but you realize you played a part in that. And I think for young moms and dads today, if you realize with those little ones, you take that little baby that's just been born or they're maybe toddling around the house and realize that it's coming. You've heard it, you know, that during these years, as you invest into their lives, take good care of yourself, make your priorities key in your family, praying with your kids, for your kids, getting your kids to church, getting on the same page with your spouse. You're giving your kids security. So down the road, when they're teenagers and adults, as the scripture says, train them up in the way they should go. And when they get older, they won't depart from it. So it comes down to making a decision to be on the same page. So what is one thing? Even if you don't call to tell me, I hope you'll tell yourself, what is one thing that if you were to get on the same page with your spouse right now and stay on that same page for the days ahead, what difference would that make in your family? Now, you said you had a 14-year-old.
14-year-old Eli.
Yeah, and then
a 12-year-old Zeke and a 10-year-old Naomi. Yeah.
10-year-old girl.
Yes.
How you doing with that?
I say things and then I look to her mama really quickly to see, like, is that all right? Was that good? Was that, you know? The thing that I find most is that I just need to be that place where she can run, you know? Mm-hmm. And she wants to come and get on the couch, and sometimes it's not a convenient time to have a snuggle, you know? I try to keep in perspective that this is not forever, though. And this is a really important time to snuggle right now, because there's somebody who will be willing to snuggle at some point if daddy's not willing, you know?
That's right.
And so we're trying to keep that in perspective and to do that, you know, when she comes, and to be that place she wants to tell the stories to, tell about her day, to be that person she wants to try out the little recipe on, which I always am good with that, you know? It's like, right. I really don't know what I'm doing at all, but what I do know is this, the same thing that my parents knew, is that I love her so much.
Right.
And my actions come from that.
That's good. Mike Weaver. You recognize that name? You hear him regularly on the radio. Big Daddy Weave. He's a real guy, I'll tell you what. I spent a day with Mike, and we were preparing for the upcoming cruise and talking about our schedule and things we wanted to do to just really be an encouragement, a blessing to those who are coming along with us. And I'll tell you, I'm convinced Mike is going to do that. In fact, he's bringing his wife. They're going to be sharing a session. He's going to be leading us in worship and putting on a concert. I get a chance to teach. Evan Carlson and his wife, Kelly, will be with us. Evan is the president of the ministry. He's going to be teaching some, but, you know, mostly that'll be when we're at sea, just spending some time together. We'll be having dinner together, and it's just going to be a great week. June 12 through 19, it's a vacation with a purpose. Well, listen, we'd love to have you come. Maybe it's an anniversary gift. Maybe it's a time for you and your family, you and your spouse, to come and just to be encouraged as we talk about an intentional life in Christ, times of worship, and getting close to people of like mind and heart. We have very limited availability for our cabins, and so this would be a great time to get yours reserved and on hold, because come June, we're praying for a breath of fresh air around the world, and certainly we'd love to have you be a part of the Intentional Living Cruise. Again, June 12 through 19, go to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Kevin Lehman with advice on how you can become an intentional parent. You know, tattoos are in vogue today. If you don't think so, just go to the supermarket and take a look around, because that's where the adults hang out. And notice that adults have tattoos. Kids have tattoos. So what's a parent to do? Well, everybody's different. Tattoo's not the end of the world. But I'll tell you how I handle it. If it came up, I simply said to my kids, you know what, honey, when you're of age, and you can afford it, and you're of legal age, you can do anything in your body you'd like. But for right now, we're just gonna put that on hold. I try not to make a big thing about it. And again, you know, my advice for years has always been, you know, don't look for trouble. Don't go where there's gonna be an argument for sure. Just be an authority, make the call, respect your kids. They're not like you, they're gonna be different. Maybe they'd like a tattoo. Like I say, it's not the end of the world. But holding kids off and getting them to defer gives them a chance to grow up a little bit, doesn't it? That's always a good thing to do when you're a parent. Let your kids grow up.
Hey, listen, that would be a whole program right there. That would be an interesting program, talking about tattoos. I mean, they're so popular to everybody. It seems like everywhere you turn. you got to be careful, you know, when you think about tattoos. I've always wondered, I don't have a tattoo. I always wonder if whoever you hire to do it, you better make sure they're really good at it. You don't want to have a word misspelled or something. Okay, Jason's on the line. Jason, welcome to Intentional Living.
Hey, thank you.
Appreciate your call.
Appreciate y'all.
Thank you. What's going on here? Well, you got to talk about being on the same page? Are you and your wife not on the same page?
No.
Over what?
Well, over finances as well as disciplining stepchildren.
Okay. Are these, quote, yours or hers?
I have one. She has two.
Okay, so you brought them. How do the kids get along with each other?
It just depends on what day it is.
Yeah, how long have you been married?
Actually, I've recently been divorced because of this situation.
So, that's unfortunate. That's sad. So, you guys are divorced, and now the kids are going through another loss?
Yes.
Yeah.
And
what have you learned, Jason? What have you learned through this?
I learned you need to, in premarital counseling is very important, and you need to make sure you talk about all this before you ever get married. I thought I covered that before we got married. It seemed to be an understanding, but once everybody moved in, it was just like all that went out the window.
Yeah. Well, you guys are in love. I mean, what love has a way, that feeling of love has a way of kind of negating the realities that you face, especially in a blended family. How long were you married?
4 years.
Is there hope for reconciliation?
Absolutely.
Okay.
We are currently dating.
All right. Well, take it slow. And I think, Jason, I think just being honest with each other and saying, wow, we came into this thing thinking, hey, we can handle this. You know, I mean, others can't, but we can. And just fess up to the fact this is tough business. And when we don't agree on something as powerful as the love that we have for our kids, because what happens in blended families, you've seen this, Jason, I'm preaching the choir for you, but what happens in blended families, it's his and hers, and you're not being fair with my kids, and you're treating your kids differently than my kids, and that just understandably creates a problem. I mean, you even see it in families where all the kids are together, and they've been raised together, and all of a sudden, that's not fair. That's not fair. Fairness becomes an issue in these relationships. And, of course, there tends to be that moving toward, quote, our children. I want to protect my child in this relationship. So I'd encourage you to move slowly, Jason. Trust God, and we pray you can make this thing work, put it back together. We're pro-marriage. We're pro-making family work. Are you encouraged at where you are at this point?
Excuse me?
Are you encouraged the direction you're taking?
Somewhat. As far as our relationship is concerned, it's very positive. We're not living together. I don't have to deal with the way she disciplines her children. And we, you know, have separate finances. So when those things are taken out of it, I mean, it's a beautiful relationship. I love my relationship with her. I love my relationship with her kids. But it's like when I'm in the middle of it, obviously, you know, they verbally bombard their mother.
Mm-hmm.
And I try and stay out of it. But she ends up getting her feelings hurt. I step in, and then I'm the jerk all the way around.
Yeah, I mean, that's the pattern. Like I said, there's a tendency we protect our children. You ask law enforcement officers, every law enforcement officer listening will tell you they hate going to domestic violent type problems because they can get turned on. They show up to try to help a problem, and all of a sudden, hey, you're here, this is my family, and you're interfering. So they can often turn on law enforcement. And that'll happen in blended families. You're trying to step in to do something good, and you get turned on because, hey, well, you can't do that to my kid. You can't talk to my kid that way. And so you also recognize that dating is not real life when it comes to being married. There's the reality now of our finances and our priorities and discipline. So I'd encourage you to move slowly, and we'll be praying with you, Jason. It's possible, but I'll tell you, it takes a lot of humility, a lot of humbleness, and as followers of Christ, to the willingness to get on the same page. So, all right, thank you for your call. By the way, I mentioned earlier we have a top 10 list of things that really can be encouraging, how to encourage your children. And I would ask you, maybe you don't know where to begin. You think about something you could do as with your spouse for the next 30 days. You want some ideas. this top 10 list will be helpful for you. Just come to theintentionallife.com, and when you're there, click on the broadcast highlights, and it'll take you to that page, okay? Love to have you join in. If you have a thought on this topic today, 888-888-1717.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio.
What Adam and Eve did as a result of feeling shame was to cover themselves. We do this, let's get real practical, we do this in our relationships. If I feel shame in my life, I'm going to cover up from you.
That's an excerpt from the lesson this month on Who Pushed Humpty Dumpty is what I'm calling it. It comes from that little nursery rhyme that Humpty Dumpty had that great fall, and they couldn't put all the cracks back together again. It was a picture to me of what happened in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve fell, a million pieces. And the brokenness that we see in Genesis chapter 3 recorded for us, and you heard me mention shame, we see that, they covered themselves. The blame, Adam blamed Eve, and we see then there was pain, the pain of childbirth that was a curse put upon women, and of course, work for men, and then we see ultimate death. And these things have plagued us ever since. Shame, blame, and pain of life, pain of death. Now that sounds like a discouraging topic, but it's not, because I turn this to, so what? What do we do knowing that shame may be causing us to do dumb things in our marriage or in our relationships or in our family? Or maybe blame is holding us back from intimacy in our marriage or our friendships. And the pain of life and health and these issues can keep us from really enjoying every day of our lives. And so this lesson is really designed to just lift you up and encourage you. We're sending it to members every month. As you know, members, you receive by email right to your home the lesson for the month. And by the way, if for any reason it's not coming, maybe it's in your spam folder, or for some reason, maybe it's, you got the wrong address we're sending it to, but let us know. We want to make sure you're receiving the monthly lesson, as we do for all new members who join us today. Plus, those who will share a gift, this additional gift to the ministry, we want to send you a brand new flip book, 52 Intentional Moments that our staff put together just to encourage you. So just go to theintentionallife.com. You know, today we're talking about getting on the same page with our spouse and raising our kids. Let's go to Laura, who's on the line. Hey, Laura, thanks for your call. What are you guys working on to get on the same page?
The biggest thing I think of, my husband is pretty overwhelmed with work and things, and it can lead to being a little short on patience. And I love listening to the program all the time and getting the advice and hearing things, but I'm trying to figure out the best way. It just still seems like communication with the children and with each other can use a little work, and I just really don't know.
Is he short with you too, Lori?
Not as often. Probably more so with work and when kids get to quarreling, like the normal things they do. Yeah.
Now, have you talked to him about this?
A little bit. We try to. It's not an easy subject because he can get I guess I don't want to say defensive, but just, you know, he's very private and very quiet about things, so it's kind of hard sometimes for us to communicate about more important things. It's hard to find those times.
So when you bring it up, you want to talk to him, he'll be defensive with you.
It could get that way pretty easy if I say it the wrong way.
So you feel like, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but do you feel like you're walking on eggshells?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, and the kids come to you complaining about dad being so short with them?
No, not too much, but they see how he is too, and it just makes them feel like walking on eggshells too sometimes.
Yeah,
so even though they're go ahead, sorry.
No, but you say you all feel like you're walking on eggshells.
Yeah, sometimes.
Yeah.
I just want to make things, you know, we do go to church. We, you know, try and pray and things. All the things that we're trying to do. I love listening to the program, and I just thought maybe I could, maybe asking you might give a little advice.
Well, Lori, I think a couple of things. One is you sound like a precious person and very gentle spirited, and it might be difficult for you to, you know, get up into your husband's grill too and really lay out, hey, there's some things in the family here that we need to talk about. Is that true? I mean, it'd be hard for you to really confront.
True.
Yeah. And so if he's really stressed and it's easy for him to kind of boil over, your natural reaction would be to pull away. What I would encourage, a couple of things, Lori. One is obviously continuing to pray for your family and pray for your husband. I think if you could get away with him alone, away from the stress, I don't know if it's on a date or a weekend or something where things are less stressful, and just be real honest with him. Get out of your comfort zone just a little bit and say, honey, this is not easy for me because I love you and I respect you and what you do for the family. I know you work hard. But is it okay if I just share with you something I'm observing that's bothering me and the kids, and so we can just at least talk about it and bring up the fact that, in other words, you're acknowledging you see the stress, you acknowledge that he's overworked, but you're also pointing out, hey, we've got an issue here, and see if we can talk about it. Now, if he opens up and you guys can talk and he gets it, that's a positive thing. If not, what would be good is at least getting into some counseling together where the two of you can have an objective, someone who can be an advocate for a better marriage for both of you. And it may not be that you feel comfortable taking that role one-on-one, but being with a counselor where you can say, hey, together we got an issue. It's not that he's bad, he's wrong, you're right, because both of you are in this marriage. So taking some steps to move in that direction would be positive. Okay, Lori, appreciate your call. Thank you for taking the time to share with us today. We're talking about being on the same page with your kids. And when you are, that's a powerful thing. And when you're not, you know the stress that can take. All right, I think Deborah's on the line. I'm not sure where, but Deborah, welcome to the program. What's your question?
Okay, well, we're not actually a together family. We're divorced, and my ex is agnostic at best. He has a new wife who's atheist. I'm Christian and trying to bring my children up in the church when I have them half time. My son is 14, and he has decided that he doesn't want to live with the guilt about his father, and if all this Bible stuff is true, then his father is damned for hell. And so he has chosen to spend the majority of his time with his father. And so that puts me in, you know, a very hurtful, very challenging position.
Mm-hmm. Has he felt like you've been preaching at him?
Yes.
And preaching about how bad dad is?
Well,
I mean, is that his perception? Do you think he perceives that you've been beating up on dad?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so he's caught in the middle saying, you know, I love my dad and he lives this way, and I love my mom, she lives that way. And
yes, and, you know, he says he's given it a lot of thought. He gets very quiet, so I know that things are going on. He's processing, but, yeah, he feels very torn.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd get him out of the middle, Deborah, and I think part of that would be to have a talk with your son in terms of, you know, son, I've been hurt, I know you've been hurt. Through this process, I just want to apologize. I'm sorry. I shouldn't put you in the middle. I know you love dad and you love me, and we're trying to work through this. This is all new territory. And I'd give him space and I'd back off and I wouldn't preach. I wouldn't put him in a difficult situation. I would pray for him. I'd love him. I'd be a Christian mom. I would act as a Christian mom. I would not encourage you to be critical of dad in any way, even if you feel it's justified.
Yeah, it's difficult because they mock our church going. And, you know, when they're under that influence where it's a mockery, you know, how can you be a scientist and believe this Bible stuff? So, yeah, it is very challenging not to say something.
Well, you can talk about scripture and you can talk about science, but you don't have to bring up dad or mockery or the issues about him. I'd stay focused on the issue and not on the people. I'd stay focused on what you believe and why you believe it and not on why dad doesn't believe it and why he's wrong and you're right. And I would keep your son out of the center.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell him I don't have all the answers, and so I would like to take him to places where he can get his questions answered by people who have put their lives into studying this, which is church. And, you know, that's the first place that he wants to avoid. So it's very tricky.
Now, is he with you half-time?
He's not anymore. He has decided he wants to spend the majority of his time with his father, and his father feels that he's mature enough to make that decision at 14.
Mm-hmm. Do you?
No. So, you know, it's a court battle, and it could get very, very ugly and very hurtful, and that's what I don't want to do to my son.
Mm. Boy, we certainly understand that, Deborah. And I think at the end of this day of parenting, your number one concern is for the soul of your and the heart of your son. And you have to love him. And I think sometimes as Christians, we have to bend over backward. The scripture says that the preaching of the gospel, the understanding of the gospel is foolishness to those who are perishing. And so the feeling of being persecuted and being ridiculed, hey, listen, the world is ridiculing us big time, more and more openly than ever before. With less and less respect and being marginalized for what we believe, especially in this, quote, scientific age in which we live, thinking that science has all the answers in some way or other, that being a Christian, we have to shut our head off, and we don't. I think that's important for your son to read and learn, have availability to be with people who are thinking. We've got people listening today who are scientists. We have people who are scholarly listening today. We have people in college professorships. We have people who are writing, who are very scientific, who love the Lord and recognize that the scripture is true. And by faith, that's what the scripture says. For by grace we've been saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is a faith walk. So we will pray for you, Deborah. We'll pray for your son, maintaining a good relationship not only with your son, but with that ex-husband would be a positive as well, powerful. Mm. That story is repeated many, many times. We'll see you next time from Intentional Living.